Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's weekly forum that connects the sports landscape to causes closest to our hearts. Keeping the pulse of the community, it's Sports in the City with your host, Larisha Harris.
It's Sports in the City. I'm your host, Larisha Harris. And like always, I'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the Atlanta sports community. Social media spot, 92.9 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. Go follow and like us on both of those platforms. That way we can keep you up to date on all the latest information regarding our community. Wanted to bring to your attention, if you aren't already aware, Atlanta United, the five stripes, and the inclusiveness, the impact, the diversity, everything that this soccer organization, the soccer club, brings to the city of Atlanta. In the studio with me to talk about the impact this organization has on this city, we have the color commentator for Atlanta United, Jason Longshore. You know him. You've heard him right here on 92.9 The Game. How's it going, Jason? What's up? Thank you for joining me.
Going well. It's going well. It's been hectic lately. The schedule's getting a little crazy for us.
I know. Games are pumping up, man.
Yeah, you know, we're just trying to keep going game after game, me and Conti, trying to get these games underway and talk about all the crazy things that are happening. We had the situation this week with the referee call that heard around the city and everybody talking about it and breaking it down. So I'm just excited that people are talking this much about a Wednesday night game in mid-May.
But, I mean, it was awesome, though. First off, the crowd and support is unwavering. It's unmatched, in my opinion. So that part I just love anyway, especially for it to be in the middle of the week, like you said. Yeah. That part, of course, is just unbelievable. But talk about that, though. I mean, it has been a huge topic of discussion. I mean, your thoughts on that play and everything.
You know, it's one of those that replay is new to soccer. Soccer, you know, refereeing has been done kind of in an old school way for so long. And soccer is the worldwide game, so different countries have, you know, different resources and infrastructure. So not everybody could do replay 20 years ago. So now they're finally starting to bring it into the game. And it's the same thing that happened in the NFL. It's the same thing that happened in college football. It does change the way the game is called. And in this situation, it was a judgment call. The referee could have called it either way, but on the field, they call it good goal, no offside. Should have stood, in my opinion, because the replay didn't give you any information to change it. It just showed that it's a judgment call. And generally, referees don't like to reverse judgment calls. And I think soccer is a sport that's really full of judgment calls. It's a little different than maybe American football is. So I think they put themselves in a bad situation using the replay in that manner. It was something they said they wouldn't do. They said it had to be a clear and obvious error. It wasn't in this case. And calling back a goal in the sixth minute, it changes the whole trajectory of the match.
It does change the dynamic and the momentum of it, too, during that moment. As you mentioned, we are here to talk about Atlanta United, everything that they have going on, because they have made a huge impact on this city here in Atlanta. When they first came into play, because you've been a part of it since the beginning. I mean, when they first came into play, what was your initial thoughts going into it? Did you see this happening? Did you see the fandom? Did you see everything that has come to fruition now?
Yeah, I did. I just didn't think it would happen so fast. I think that's what caught me by surprise. I was working for Soccer in the Streets, a nonprofit based here in Atlanta at the time, and we knew the team was coming, and we knew it was going to be big for an organization like Soccer in the Streets, because it was always very hard to really tap into the soccer community when you didn't have a team like Atlanta United to galvanize it. You know, there have been lower division teams in the city for a long time, but it's hard to operate a minor league team with that community mindset. And Atlanta United came in with Arthur Blank, who is very invested in the community, and his foundation was doing soccer things in the community well before Atlanta United. And that was one of their pillars, was community was always going to be a big part of this club. So they've used soccer in a number of ways to benefit the community, whether it's just giving opportunities for kids to have heroes and role models. You know, when kids are growing up and they're a basketball player, they want to be like Dennis Schroeder, or they wanted to be like Paul Millsap, or, you know, when they're a football player, they want to be Julio Jones or Matt Ryan. We didn't have that for soccer in Atlanta. You know, you would look to Lionel Messi, you'd look to Cristiano Ronaldo, but how many kids in Atlanta think they're going to have the opportunity to play professional soccer in Madrid? Now it's a lot closer to them to think, I could be a professional player and play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and wear my city shirt. That's what's changed it so much. And then going a step beyond, they've been able to do things in different neighborhoods in the community through schools, provide the opportunity for kids to play. And soccer can be a little expensive at times. It's just the way the youth soccer business has grown. And sometimes that prices kids out. Sometimes kids don't live near a club, so they don't have access. By going into the schools and Atlanta United and Soccer in the Streets partnering up to do that, so many kids, probably thousands in the city, have had a chance to play free of charge and without transportation being a barrier.
If you're just joining us, Jason Longshore, he is the color commentator for Atlanta United. We're talking everything affiliated with this organization, Soccer in the Streets. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it is a nonprofit organization. Are they the ones responsible for that soccer field that's on top of the MARTA station?
They are.
I think that is so dope. I actually had the opportunity to go by and see it, and I was just completely blown away.
Yeah, and
one, how many people were there?
Oh, it's crazy. And that's not the only one they're going to do. That's what's so cool about it. I was with the organization when the idea came up, and one of the board members, Sanjay Patel, had this vision. It's something that's fairly common in other parts of the world. England and London has a pretty good network of soccer fields at train stations. And he had the idea here, and it just was never the right time until Atlanta United got underway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the momentum to do it. And you had the right partners. I mean, it's not something that Soccer in the Streets could do themselves. Atlanta United helped it happen. MARTA has helped it happen. The city has helped it happen. And this idea, this field at Five Points, was always kind of a showcase for what it could be. And you'll see more pop up in other stations around the city and create a network and create a league.
That first initial one to put it in the Five Points mm-hmm. area was just, that was great marketing.
All the way around. And MARTA was so receptive to it, because before that field went in, that was just kind of a wasted space in the station. Mm-hmm. It was a little amphitheater that had been there, I think, since the station was built. It was usually locked up. They used it for a few special events a year. How cool is it to take that space that was behind a lock and key and now turn it into an open space for activity? We need more of that in the city.
I think so, too. I want to go a little bit in depth about Soccer in the Streets, mm-hmm. because everyone over there, they do a lot. They do a lot. I've seen some of the videos and stuff that they posted to the website with their interaction with children going into the school. They do something big with APS, correct?
Yeah, they partner with APS for soccer in both elementary and middle school.
So with that exactly, I know that their primary focus is based upon helping children be exposed to this game. What would you say was one part of this organization that you admire?
For me, it was that everything went a step beyond just getting kids playing. Because that's kind of the easy part, but to be able to be intentional about using that for something more. And for Soccer in the Streets, it's always been based around getting kids ready to be successful young adults. And that can look different for different kids. Some will get work experience through the organization. They'll learn how to be a coach. They'll learn how to be a referee. And they will then coach or referee their younger peers in the neighborhood. And again, it goes back to that role model type of thing. When, it's one thing when I go into a neighborhood with kids who are very different, whether it's, ethnic background or whatever, it might take some time to build trust between us. But when it's an older kid from that community who has been through the program, understands it, and then becomes a coach, the younger kids look up to them. And I've seen that firsthand in Clarkston. Clarkston is, near Stone Mountain on the east side, one of the largest refugee resettlement areas in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we would start programs over there, and you'd have kids on the field, 15, 20 different countries represented.
Oh, wow.
And that program started with a pickup day on Fridays at the local community center, and has now turned into teams winning state championships and going on to regionals. And for those kids, soccer is home to them. They're in a new land. Everything is so different. Soccer is what's familiar. and makes them feel comfortable. Then when you flip that and you look over to the west side of Atlanta, you're in predominantly African-American communities without a soccer history. And you're able to go in through schools with soccer in the streets and introduce the game. But you can still get to the same place. And I've seen kids learn how to referee. And then they go out and they work as referees. And a lot of times then the parents get involved too. And they want to learn how to coach or referee. And it's cool to see it on opposite sides of the city with two completely different populations. But then the special thing is when you get them together and they interact. And that's why the 5-point station is so important, because it is that meeting point.
Let's talk about the cultural divide, because I believe what you said plays into that. We've seen Atlanta United bring together so many people, mm-hmm. from being on the field to the fans. That cultural divide has come together.
Yeah. It's really cool to see. And for years, I always said an Atlanta Falcons game was the most diverse place in the city at that time.
Not anymore.
Atlanta United is. Because as great as a Falcons crowd is, and as great as a Hawks crowd is when they're hot, mm-hmm. and you get everybody in the building, Atlanta United brings the Hispanic community, the international community into that mix, still with everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something that has shocked people around the country is soccer is still making inroads in the African-American community. It's not as common. You don't see as many players with the U.S. national team. It's not as prevalent in communities for kids to be able to play. But in Atlanta, that's not necessarily the case.
No.
You
not
know,
at all.
I mean, look at the anthem for this team. It's Archie Eversole. It's We Ready. I mean, come
right.
on. That's Atlanta.
Yeah.
When if you're from outside the city and you hear that before kickoff of an Atlanta United match, it feels like Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's cool about what Atlanta United's created is some MLS teams, when you turn a game on, if you don't know the stadium by sight, it could be anywhere. In some other cities in the world, it's the same thing. You turn a game on, it's like, that could be Barcelona, that could be Madrid, that could be Munich. It all kind of sounds the same. When you turn on an Atlanta United match,
you know
it's Atlanta. You're hearing Atlanta artists. You're hearing Atlanta. And that's so unique. That's, I think, the special thing about it is Atlanta is that melting pot. And it always has been. I think sometimes, you know, when we're from here, we forget that, mm-hmm. or we take it for granted. Atlanta United has just absolutely brought that to the world stage.
It definitely has. And I remember being completely shocked when I went to the tailgate for the first time, mm-hmm. and I saw all these people coming for the parade into the stadium.
Yep.
They had the bongs and the bells and the paint and everything just going. And it was everybody together.
Yeah.
I don't want to say not a care in the world, but at that moment, it was just carefree. Everyone enjoying the moment, singing the songs, mm-hmm. and everybody knew them.
Yeah.
Everybody knew every song. And then going in the stadium, watching everyone just stand up and cheer the whole time.
You get some songs in English. You get some songs in Spanish. Everybody is back and forth and trading their culture.
Yes.
That's what's cool about it is they're sharing their culture with others. And I think for a lot of people, I mean, I was that kid in Atlanta. You know, I was born and raised here. I lived in Riverdale,
mm-hmm.
went to a high school at Eagles Landing down on the south side. And I've learned about the world through soccer. You know, I've met people from around the world through soccer. I didn't know anything about Argentina as a 9-year-old till I saw Argentina in the World Cup. Then I wanted to learn about that country and I wanted to learn about the culture. And it's the same for, you know, every team that I've followed and every player that I've, you know, connected to. I'm like, I want to learn about their culture. And that's how I've learned about the world. And I think it's the same now for kids from Atlanta and for adults from Atlanta. You know, I mean, you go to a game and you might have in your section people from 5 different countries. And you're all cheering on the same team. You're all wearing the same shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to talk to each other and realize that, hey, it's not that different.
Mm-mm.
It's really not.
LaRisha Harrisy, if you're just joining us, Jason Longshore in the studio. He is the color commentator for Atlanta United, and we're talking all things about the 5 stripes. Now, let's go into a little bit of detail about the season so far. We saw Wednesday night, Atlanta United unfortunately dropped this game to Sporting KC 2-0. But prior to that, I mean, they've been doing pretty good. This is only their second loss.
Right.
They have another game tonight. Your thoughts on Wednesday's game first? and then we can take a step back into what they've done so far this season.
Yeah, so Wednesday was tough. We talked about the overturned goal call at the beginning, but then you had a red card in the first half to Brad Kazan, had to turn to your fourth or fifth string goalkeeper, and you're playing a man down for over 60 minutes. That's really difficult against one of the best teams in the league in Kansas City.
Best in the West, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought Atlanta played well. You know, a man down, you were still able to create chances, even after going a goal down. Kevin Kratz with two free kicks that Tim Melia had to make diving saves on, nearly put in a rebound. So Atlanta was still in the match, even a man down. I think that shows their overall quality. The whole streak, they had went eight matches without losing.
Yes.
That tied a club record from last year. And I think Atlanta has shown that they're kind of the benchmark for MLS right now. NYCFC is one of the best teams in the East. They were here earlier this season. It was a 2-2 draw. Real heavyweight kind of fight in that one. I think they'll be around at the end. I think Toronto, the defending champs, will be around at the end. Orlando, who we see tonight, is really on the way up. But that's what this match is for Orlando, is that measuring stick. Are they part of the best in the league? And we'll learn a little bit more tonight. To be that team this soon in your history is really impressive. And it speaks to, you know, the whole organization at Atlanta United, from Arthur making the decision to invest at a first-class level, going out and hiring a president 3 years before you kick off, and then Darren Eales being that president and having the global vision and building the team in the right way with every move they've made has been really on point. Then
very
you go
strategic.
Very strategic. And then so you get Darren in place. Then you go get Carlos Bocanegra, former U.S. international who's played all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it from the player perspective, from, you know, the field perspective. Then you go hire Tata Martino, who was one of the best managers in the world coming off of working for the Argentine national team. And he's able to bring players like Miguel Almiron and Joseph Martinez and superstars. Just
love
superstars. I love that those two guys are two of the biggest athletes in the city right now, and they don't speak English.
At all.
I love that. Joseph does. He'll fool you. He does.
I feel like he does a little
He's a little shy about it, which I totally get. But he speaks very fluent English. He's very good with it. He just doesn't want to come off, you know, speaking a second language and for it to not flow well. Whereas a guy like Leandro Gonzalez Pires, I'll give him a ton of credit because he will put himself out there and do interviews in English. And that's so hard for somebody when they got here last January who didn't speak English to be able to do it. I mean, that shows just how committed he is to the city. And that's been the number one thing from these guys. Miguel Almiron wrote a great piece in the offseason with Players Tribune about why Atlanta means so much to him and why Tata Martino means so much to him. Tata managed the Paraguayan national team in the 2010 World Cup. Miguel was a young kid in Paraguay who wanted to someday play for Paraguay. And Tata took them to the quarterfinals. It was their best ever World Cup. And Miguel, you know, as a kid, is like, it would be amazing to play for him one day. So when Tata Martino makes that call and says, we want to bring you to Atlanta, he said a phrase called Quiero contar contigo. It doesn't translate directly. It's basically like, I want to count on you. I want you to be part of this. And it's a phrase that is kind of starting to pick up some traction with Atlanta United fans, as that symbolizes Atlanta. You know, it is about bringing everyone together and wanting to do this together. And that's what this team is. You look at them on the field, the togetherness, and now bringing in a guy like Ezequiel Barco.
Yeah.
You know, the little brother to Miguel now, the 18-year-old coming in. And Miguel Almiron is like really taking him under his wing. And Miguel's 24. You know, he was the young guy in the team last year. Now he's kind of the wily veteran, putting an arm around Ezequiel and helping him learn what it's like to be a pro. This team's just really special.
It seems to be a lot of special moments with this team in general, just like you said, from the jump until now. Looking to the future, do you think it can only get better from here?
Yeah, I do. I think the next step is winning a trophy. And in MLS, you have three trophies you compete for. Your Supporters' Shield, which is the best record in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. And Atlanta United sits atop that second.
They're right there with Kansas City right now, and NYC is right in the mix. The U.S. Open Cup, which Atlanta United will start their cup run in early June, and that's where clubs from all over the country get a chance to participate. Last night, South Georgia Tormenta won their first round game. They're playing the Charleston Battery. It's very possible the winner of that will play Atlanta United in Atlanta's first match. That's a huge opportunity. And then MLS Cup, winning the playoffs in MLS. Because what that does for you is that puts you into the CONCACAF Champions League. And this is a new thing for Atlanta sports fans. If Atlanta United wins MLS Cup or the Open Cup this year, they go in to play the best teams from around the continent. And Toronto made it to the final and lost on penalties this year. For Atlanta United to have the opportunity to play the best and biggest teams of Mexico in a match that matters with, you know, high stakes, because the winner of that goes to the Club World Cup. And Atlanta United could then, if they get through CONCACAF, have a chance to play a Barcelona or a Liverpool or a Real Madrid in a meaningful match. Atlanta United is already on the world stage, but if they get a chance to do that and the city gets behind it, forget it.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
I mean, you have somewhat of good exposure coming, too, when they have the All-Star game here in Atlanta on August 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have some of the top players over from Italy coming over here playing All-Stars in the MLS. I mean, how awesome is that for Atlanta to be the host of that game?
Atlanta has been the story of soccer in the United States since Atlanta United kicked off, and it was only a matter of time before Atlanta started to get those types of events. You know, they're in the running for the World Cup in 2026. If the U.S., Canada, Mexico bid gets it, I think Atlanta is going to have a semifinal in that tournament. You know, one of the biggest games in the world will be here in that time. But MLS All-Star, it's a great celebration for the league. And to have a club like Juventus come to town this time, one of the most legendary clubs in the world.
Highly decorated.
They're the biggest club in Italy and one of the most well-known clubs everywhere. They've won so many trophies. And for them to come to Atlanta and get to play against a collection of this league's best, it's unique to soccer. All-star games are kind of a new thing for soccer, but this is just a great, for me, it's a celebration of where MLS is and where it's come from and where it's headed.
And we saw Edgar David. He was at the game Wednesday, and he's a highly decorated player himself.
Edgar is one of the all-time greats from Juventus and from the Dutch national team. And it's crazy. Edgar has had a part-time residence in Atlanta for a number of years.
Yes, he told me about that. Yeah. Like, he told me his first time here was, I believe, back in 2006. He spent time here recovering from an injury.
Yep.
And then he told me about his experience just at the game, and I thought it was really cool to see him so infatuated with the tailgating and the togetherness.
Yeah. It's different. It's different. And, you know, it's not like a better or worse thing about how soccer is around the world, but Atlanta United players have commented on it too. The fan base here is so supportive and they're so ride or die that in other countries, sometimes there's a little more pressure on the team. If they don't play well, they get booed off the field and it gets a little more cutthroat. Here, I think this fan base, it's still new, so everyone is still like just really enjoying having it. And the way this team plays, I mean, it's hard not to pull for them and want to see them come through the Kansas City game. I mean, a man down late and the fans were just kept getting louder and louder and louder, trying to almost will the team through it.
Before I let you go, Jason, we've been talking this entire time about what Atlanta does for this city, the Five Stripes, what they do for this city, how they've brought a lot of communities together. There is a big picture here, and I think a lot of people can appreciate that. But coming from you, a true soccer fan, a person who has been in this thing from the beginning until now, how does it make you feel to see this huge impact that this soccer club has on the city of Atlanta?
It's been crazy this year when I get to talk to more people from outside of Atlanta. You know, you really try hard not to take it for granted being inside of it, but Atlanta United is part of the sporting culture in Atlanta now. And that's not the case in every city in the United States. You know, MLS teams, some still struggle for media attention, some still struggle for TV time. Here and here on 92.9, the game, I mean, it's Matt Ryan, it's, you know, now Ronald Acuna, Dennis Schroeder during the Hawks season. It's Miguel Almiron. It's Joseph Martinez. I mean, segments just flow. It's there. And that was what I always hoped for as a kid. You know, I was a kid who grew up listening to sports radio, you know, as long as I can remember, and listening to the Braves and Georgia football and all of it. And for soccer to now be part of that, it just still blows my mind. And when I talk to people from other parts of the country, and it just it shocks them that, you know, every show on the station wants to talk about soccer. And it's covered every day in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And every sports report has a soccer mention in it.
It's almost like, if you aren't doing it, what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's what it's turned into. And in other parts of the country, it's not always like that. So we're really lucky to have it. And the biggest reason I think why it's worked so well is just from day one, it's been treated in a first-class manner by Arthur Blank, by the organization. It's been Falcons and United equal. It hasn't been the soccer team's the little brother. And I think that's really, you know, people have responded to it. And when you do everything in a first class way and you make it, you say it's a big deal, people think it's a big deal. And in Atlanta, Atlanta United, MLS, it's a really big deal.
Jason, thank you so much for joining me to talk about the impact that Atlanta United has on the city. We talked about soccer in the streets. We touched on a little bit of everything. Thank you so much.
No problem. There's so much going on. There's so many different organizations using soccer for good things. And whether that's your local YMCA or organizations like Soccer in the Streets, it's just so exciting for me to see it. And I hope it continues. And I think there, you know, there's so much more room to grow.
I think it will continue. I don't think the hype is going to die.
No, I'm not expecting that. Wait till we get a CONCACAF Champions League run.
What?
Yeah, wait till we're playing Club America for Mexico City. You're going on that trip.
Yes, definitely.